risk of long abstinence from the church, and it's like the message is actually for people that are watching online. People that are over 60, people that fall within the category of those that can come, but they are still saying, I don't want to come now, and let church come back. This message is for you. Amen. And praise the Lord. So we looked at a few benefits of coming in person, and we looked at three of the risks of long abstinence from the church. And we're going to look at number four today. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, which is our walking scriptures. And Psalm number 122, verse 1, that says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad. You are only glad if there are things you will enjoy if you go there, right? You are only glad because it's not going to be a waste. You are only glad because God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Praise the Lord. Number four, we have the risk of spiritual depression. Depression comes when what you have been enjoying before is taken away from you. You can't receive good news and be depressed. Amen? You can't have everything going normally, usually the way they used to go, and be depressed. You're only depressed when something is absent, when something is not there, or when something goes the way it should go. And we know we are in such a time like that. And I know that God is in charge. Whatever is going on in this country, why America of all countries? Amen? Why it was at the time we're going to make this country great again, that we are losing over 250,000 people because of party politics. Amen? Other countries losing 25,000. We have countries that did not even lose as much as 500 people. Lost over 250,000 people. So to be alive at a time like this, special grace of God. Special, special grace of God. Praise the Lord. Psalm number 42, verse 11. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Praise the Lord. There is a kind of joy that we don't really enjoy when we come together. I suffered this spiritual depression, and I didn't know until God told me that the reason why you are being moody and edgy is because of this. I told you here before, at the time, I would go online, and I'll be watching, all I was watching is choir ministrations, thanksgivings. And I, God, hey, see Bramufe, see the way he's dancing, see Zachinwe, hey, see Bratunde, and Bramulumide coming to the front. I'll be watching. God, I mean, when am I going to enjoy this again? We were enjoying it. It was so ordinary. Praise the Lord. And every time we come and we dance and we rejoice, we go on with this joy. It energizes our spirit. And when this is taken away from us or it is restricted, we begin to miss it. How I can explain it is this. How many people have done white fasting before? Yeah, okay. White fasting is very dangerous. Amen? That's why mostly I do dry fasting. No fat at all. It's better than you do white fasting. It's better than you limit yourself only to things that don't have sugar, don't have salt, don't have oil, you know, just fruit, whatever, just some, you deprive yourself of certain nutrients and you feed your body with certain ones. So there is imbalance and your body suffers it. So the same thing happens spiritually. You've been enjoying certain things before. Now, that thing is taken away for sheep. The communion, the koinonia, coming together. How good and how pleasant, how beautiful it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Coming, seeing each other, shaking hands, gisting after service. You know, after service, fellowship in the front there. Taking pictures. Those things are not just ordinary. They've been helping our spirit, but now they are taken away. So, long search results into spiritual depression. And the Bible says in Proverbs 13:12 that hope deferred makes the heart to be sick. We don't even know what's going to be over. Vaccines have been approved. Vaccines is not a cure. It's just one of the measures to slow it down. It is introducing the virus into your body that you didn't have before, so that your body can get used to it and fight it when it is coming from outside. It's an enemy that is positioned in your body to fight the same enemy that wants to come from outside. I'm a mimoko DBU. I'm the first to get in here. So you can't come in. I mean, that's what it means. It's being publicized. It's as if it is a cure. So it's only God that can bring the cure. And God will do it. Just like other flus, the flu that came 100 years ago, whatever time, they saw the end of it. We will see the end of this pandemic. Number 5, the risk of spiritual slumbering. To slumber is to sleep. And when you sleep, most of the time you are insensitive to your surroundings. Spiritual slumbering could result into spiritual deafness. You are not hearing what God is saying. I mean, if you are a deep sleeper and somebody walks into your room and calls your name, you won't hear because it's as if you are in another world. Spiritual slumbering could result into spiritual weakness. When you are sleeping, if anybody comes, picks up your hand and drops it, it goes down. At that point, your body is weak. Praise the Lord. When God wanted to create Eve for Adam, amen? Adam sleep. He had to do what? Make Adam to sleep. That was when he could do what he wanted to do. If you look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 25 and 26, the Bible says, Jesus Christ put forth another parable unto them, saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tears among the wheat and went his way. Why is it that there are certain spiritual attacks that cannot prosper unless you sleep? Amen? Unless you sleep. Unless you're slumbering. Praise the Lord. So, spiritual slumbering is very, very dangerous. And a lot of people are slumbering now without knowing. In Matthew chapter 25, we read from verse 1, we read about the story of the 10 virgins, 5 foolish and 5 wise. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was late, to open. Everybody slept. But some people, but while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. They all slumbered and slept. But eventually, bridegroom came. And some people were able to enter. Some were not able to enter. Everybody experienced a ring or another. But some people are still slumbering. I tell you, some people, as I'm talking right now, it is hard for some people, even though they fall into the category of people that can come to the church, it is hard for them the morning and drive to the church. It's hard. The energy to serve God with gladness, with excitement, with zeal is no longer there. The spirit is willing, but the body is not helping. Praise the Lord. They are not able to do the things they used to do before. The zeal to serve God has, because what they used to enjoy without knowing before is taken away from them. And lastly, the risk of disconnection from your house of grace. The risk of disconnection from your house of grace. When we talk about gathering together, the church is not a building. The church is the people. When Jesus Christ said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it," it's talking of the saints. That I'm going to build up a community of believers that will be so strong. Their force will be so strong that no kingdom of darkness will be able to prevail against them. So, even though we come together physically, but the transactions are 80% spiritual. Praise the Lord. The transactions are what? 80% spiritual. We talk physically, but our talk is not just ordinary talk. Is spiritual. The word that is coming out now is spirit. Flesh profited nothing. It is the spirit that giveth life. And the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. The message is spiritual. Even though the offering you are giving is physical, but it is 80% or 90% spiritual. Praise the Lord. Even though you are putting it on the altar as a physical thing, but it's appearing before the throne of God. It becomes an investment for you in heaven. And a lot of people have been disconnected without even knowing. There are people, as a result, just like I was telling them in the first service, we have people that I don't even know. Somebody send them links of our services, and they've been spiritually connecting with us, pay their tithes and offerings online, join every service. Anytime we are live, they are joining. They see this place as their church. They see us as their pastors. They see you as members of their church. And we have other people that are physically gathering, but spiritually, their heart is somewhere else. Praise the Lord. They are physically gathering, but spiritually, their contribution to church is close to nothing. Praise the Lord. I mean, sometimes I wonder, how can I belong to a church and for 8 months I'm joining services online, doing everything, but not $1 has gone into that church as my contribution. Praise the Lord. I have disconnected myself. Amen. How can I belong to a family and I only appear to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner? I don't have any contribution there.
Do I really belong?
Praise the Lord.
Let's look at the book of something there. Verse number 32. Chapter 4, verse number 32 and 34, 33. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart. This is one of the major strengths of the early church. They did everything with one heart. It was in chapter 5 that somebody wanted to introduce something bad into them and he died. Praise the Lord. It is not, pastor is saying, we are going to build, a sanctuary for ourselves. And some people say, is it necessary to pay rent here? Some people actually said it. Can't we find something cheaper, like below $1 million? Go and find it. Amen. Some people are excited. Yes, let's build it. What's it going to take? Somebody that's never been to our church had in Nigeria, he was the first to contribute $500. Say, hey, you people have finally found a place? You know, this is what I have, $500. Take it. Then I'll be giving later. People from London, pastor, congratulations. Well, find a place. $1,000. Somebody from Atlanta, pastor, you have finally found a place. $2,000. Somebody from California, Pastor Brown, finally you guys found a place. This is $500. And somebody who everywhere they go, I go to Pastor Brown is my pastor. Stefan, when they are doing anniversary, when we used to do anniversary, big anniversary, they will invite like 20 people, come to our anniversary, I enjoy. They will bring people, come and chop. Now, building project. Is it compulsory? And then bad and build uptown. Disconnected yourself. Praise the Lord. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart. One soul, everybody was lifting it up. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. However, and I met in our search for church building, we went to a church on the west side, and while we were looking at the church building, touring the place, pastor began to talk. He was like confessing. He said, Pastor Abraham, so how do you do your church? How do you do tithes and offerings, this, that, and that? And I told him, say, do you collect offerings? I said, one time. You only collect on a Sunday service? You collect only one time? I said, yes. He said, I'm different, though. I said, how different? He said, people, I indoctrinated my people to a level when they get their checks, they have to bring it to me first. But the church collapsed. Of course, it collapsed. That's why they wanted to sell their building. It collapsed. He said, I taught them through the Bible how they have to respect me as God. They can't see God. It's only me they can see. So they will bring their checks. It's a white man, not a black man. Don't think it's a Ghanaian. It's not a Ghanaian. It's not a Ghanaian. He will take their money. He will take their checks. He will take their checks and decide how much they should they need to take over. Then he will now write another check from the church account and give to them. So if you're a single sister, Dr. Nena, you don't need the money now. Your parents are very... They are very rich. They are comfortable. $1,000 a month. You are a small girl. You see, I'll give you $5,000. Pastor will keep $10,000. Things people are doing in the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. At the end of the day, people began to wise up to your tent to Israel. To your tent to Israel. One after the other. The same way they came in ones and twos. He said, we didn't back. Let's go back there. But they had all things in what? In common. Verse number 33. This one. Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, go. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. There is a grace, except the man of God has put his hands into darkness. There is a great grace upon every church that truly is established upon the rock of ages. There is a pastor that was making a confession. He used to belong to an occult. He got born again. He was giving, he was telling the story of how men of God used to come to their shrine for powers. And that some of these rituals involve grinding a day-old baby to give them power. He said a particular man of God who had a sizable congregation came to their shrine one day. And as he wanted to enter, everybody said, no, you cannot enter. You can't come in, please. There are four mighty angels following you. Yeah, everybody is saying there are four mighty angels that have anointing. But my ministry is not booming. I want it to boom like this one own, like I only this own, like this one own, that one own. They say, those people on 10D, they have something that is under. Say, you know, 10D, me too. I want to help God. He said, before we can help you, you have to do something that will make the angels following you to go. So the man went back to his church and slept with his sister. And then he went back there and said, yes, you can come in now. So they did rituals for him. His church blew for like 5 years. He was known all over Nigeria. And suddenly he died. You blow for 5 years. Just like some people will blow on Instagram. Bentley, Rolls Royce, Jaguar. It's designer's dresses every day and they will put it out in your face. See. Mean that they said I was nothing. See me living large. And they will live large for 5 years. And then they will live long in orange suit for 50 years. 5 years, enjoy life. 50 years in orange suit in Orange County. Praise the Lord. And you have people there. You have people that can kill you there in prison. It's a dangerous place. So what kind of enjoyment do I want to enjoy? It will make me suffer for the rest of my life. The most anybody can spend here comfortably on earth is 100 years. Once you are over 100 years, they will be helping you to do a lot of things. And we're talking about eternity. We're talking about 100 years versus eternity. Life without end. Life without end, either in the presence of God, where there is fullness of joy, in the midst of angelic hosts, Mount Zion, the gathering, the assembly of innumerable hosts of angels, the church of the firstborn of God, where they are singing and it is bliss forevermore. Even if I have to suffer 100 years here and gain 1 million or 1 trillion years of goodness, it's still worth it. Lazarus suffered. He made it to heaven. The rich man enjoyed. He was in hell. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. These are that should be at the back of our heads sometimes. Okay, I blow and everybody knows me. Then my cover blows and everybody sees who I really am. Praise the Lord. And then suffering comes. God will have mercy. God will have mercy. The church is not just a place of physical gathering. is a place of great grace. A lot of us will have put our hands into terrible things, but as a result of gathering with fellow believers, we draw strength from one another. You bring your own grace, I bring my own grace. And then it becomes great grace. Prayers that I would normally pray on my own, and it could take several weeks before it can ascend anywhere, we come corporately, we pray together because of the corporate grace upon us, and boom, it is done. Praise the Lord. How can we stay connected to God? I'm not prophesying negative. Thank God, last week Monday, they didn't issue the regulation of shutting churches. What they recommended is that the churches can still continue to meet 40% capacity. But then, if there is God or other special programs in the church, we cannot be more than 10 in attendance. It's going to be naming ceremony, it cannot be more than 10. That is their regulation. Thank God that we're still meeting. But who knows what is going to happen tomorrow? If tomorrow there is a spike that is more than what they're expecting, and as in churches, you cannot hold your services again. Everybody go home. You can't fight the government. We're going to sit at home. But how do we keep our relationship going? The same Bible says we should respect authority. So we can't fight them. We can't say, the Bible says, where two or three are gathered together in their name, God is there. God said we should not forsake the assembling of one another. I'm standing upon Hebrews chapter 13, verse 25. We have to gather. They will come and arrest you. And you and your gathering, you will be behind bars. Praise the Lord. So, the same Bible that says gather is the same Bible that says obey all authorities. For there is no authority that is existing which God did not ordain. Obey. So, if tomorrow something happens and we are to shut down, how do we keep going? How do we keep moving forward? How do we keep pressing forward? How do we keep looking upward unto God? How do we keep our relationship with God going? Praise the Lord. Let me quickly give you a few things. Number one, treat your relationship with God as the only life you have. Actually, the only life you have as a true child of God is God. And that's why you cannot play with that single life. Some people have 1,000 lives. I'm telling you. They have Guru Maharaj's life. They have Marine Kingdom life. They have all kinds, they have astrology life. They have all kinds of lives. They have received spirits from all over the place. And some of them even go to church. They are Muslims. They are Christians. They are traditionalists. They are all kinds of things. They have Asian gods. But the only one you have, and I'm not mistaken, because I know you, you don't have any babalawo you are calling. You don't have anybody getting into the stars for you. You don't have anybody consulting any oracle on your behalf. You don't have anybody casting lots on your behalf. You don't have anybody going under the rock, Abeokuta, for your sake. Praise the Lord. The only one you have is God. And Yoruba people, they have these proverbs. In the days when there were no matches to light fire and gas lighters and things like that, what they had is striking stones and making fire. And then after you have made fire, you if you see somebody that has made fire, you go there and collect a coal of fire, and you take that coal and you go and make your own fire. They said, a person with one coal does not walk close to the water. Because it is, if it falls into that water, it don't finish. Praise the Lord. God is all you have. In heaven and on earth, you don't have any other person. Don't even say you have pastor. And you don't have God, you don't have anything. A lot of people have all kinds of pastors from Zimbabwe, from Canada, from England, from Nigeria, from Ghana, all kinds of prophets. But they don't have God. God is all you have. Let's look at the Bible. Psalm number 73, verse 25 and 26, New Living Translation. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. That should be your story. That should be your song. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, New Living Translation. And this is what God has testified. He has given us life. And this life is inside Jesus Christ. Verse 12. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. It's not just having it. He's also maintaining it. It's also what? You have a car. You don't do oil change. You don't do B1 maintenance. You don't do B2 maintenance. It's just drive. Just put gas into it. You don't do battery check. You don't do tire rotations. Very soon, it will pack up. A lot of people have it, but they are not using it. It's not but in your life. It is also daily maintaining that relationship. Maintaining relationships through communication. One of the things that is responsible for marital breakdowns is communications. When people are not talking, when they don't have resolution policies that they have put in place. My dear, if you offend me this way, or I offend you this way, this is how we're going to resolve it. If I said something you don't understand and you acted this way, this is how we're going to resolve it. In case you abused me this way, and I went as far as talking about the head of your father and the leg of your mother, resolve it. Praise the Lord. Very soon, if they don't have that, when they have chorus or whatever, it breaks down. Communication. And a lot of people are disconnected from God because they are not talking to Him. Amen. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, the second one. Treat the word of God like food. How many people love food? I love food. Amen? Because you need it for life. If you have a child that is not eating, you're going to be alarmed. Losing weight, it's going to be losing energy. So food gives you energy, gives you strength. It makes you to continue to live. A lot of people died. There was a story I had. This man and his wife were going to a church. And then the pastor said something about fasting until you see Jesus. I'm telling you, this is a lot of terrible things are going on in the body of Christ. A lot of people thought where they were going is a church, not knowing it was their graveyard. House was still very small at that time. I think the oldest was like 8 or 10. And the husband and the wife locked themselves because the pastor also told them that every other person in their neighborhood is a sinner. And they should not have relationship with their neighbors. That they are the only saints going to heaven. And these people embarked on a long fasting. No food, no water. And it was the father that died first. The husband died. Instead of the wife to wise up, the wife believed, our pastor said, the way Jesus Christ died and rose on the third day, my husband. So with the little strength she had, instead of her to drink water, to take some liquid, some fluid, and continue living, she continued to believe she would live. And she died also. And the children because they too have been indoctrinated. They believed their parents would wake up. And after a few days, when they started decomposing, that's when the oldest one went out and said, "They need food. Where are your parents? They are just lying down, and some things are coming out of them." They went there, they are gone. So, food is essential to living. Amen? And for us to live, the Word of God is essential. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1 to 3. "Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live." Can we have that in New Translation? Verse number 3. "He did it so to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." There is the physical living and there is the spiritual living. Some people are physically alive but spiritually dead. They are not sensitive to the things of God. When God is talking, they can't hear. They can't see. They cannot feel. They are just passing through time. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 15:16, New Living Translation. "I discovered your words. I devoured them. They are my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God of heaven's armies." When I discovered your word, I devour them. And thank God for the time we are living in. We have audio Bibles. We have audio devotionals. My wife has one audio devotional. You know, you can go to her. She will share with you. Very powerful. You listen to it. It's the same thing. The Bible says faith coming by hearing, Romans 10:17, and hearing by the word of God. So it's not just reading. Most of the things you see about studying the word of God, because in the time that they were writing the Bibles, the only thing available to them was reading, right? If it was a time like this, the ones that we have in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, you will study this book of the law of the Lord shall not depart from your mouth, but in it thou shalt meditate day and night. Amen. If Joshua was to write it in our own generation, "This book of the law of the Lord shall not depart from your eyes by studying on apps on the internet or your devices." Amen. In your iPhone, in your Android devices, and it will include those. I believe that. They were limited at that time, so they limited their writing. Psalm number 1? "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of the sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it he meditates day and night." Praise the Lord. He does what? He meditates day and night. "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in its season. His leaf also do not wither and prosper." So those scriptures that spoke about meditating, about reading, if it is in our time, it will have included the apps, going online, hearing it, and all kinds of things, CDs and things like that, DVDs, praise the Lord. And some of them are dramatized. Amen? The dramatized ones are very good. Praise the Lord. If you love drama, if you're a drama queen, praise the Lord. All the ones that, the old King James version that was demonstrated by the original man, is just pure, plain language. But the ones that are dramatized will actually put to what they are saying. The place where Jesus Christ cried out, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,"
my God, why? He will say, my God, why have you forsaken me? He will bring it to life to you. Praise the Lord. So have this while you are going to walk. Put it, you know, some of us will listen to songs, which is very good. Let's include it in our daily routines. Praise the Lord. Number three, depend on God to overcome any temptation that can draw you away from God. Romans chapter 7, verse number 15 to 17. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I'm doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me. That's New Living Translation. This pandemic period, domestic violence went up. From the second week, one of our sisters that worked with the law enforcement department said that, Pastor, something is going on. It's 911 call for domestic violence all the time. Praise the Lord. Domestic violence went up. Even that would, a boyfriend that would usually wake up 6 a.m. and dash to work and return back in the evening, he's tired. He doesn't have energy to fight. The wife also has gone to work. The two of them are now doing online. So people are not used to spending as much time with each other. They now begin to see each other's flaws. Why did you throw that one there? Is it your business? Face your work. Then they start beating each other. So violence went up. Drunkenness went up. Beer sold. Alcohol sold more than what? People started smoking. People visited never before. Millions of times, including Christians. So it was a time of great temptations. Praise the Lord. It was a time of great temptations. And we need, just like Paul, I want to do good. But the good I want to do, I don't have the energy to do it. The bad I don't really want to do. I'm a child of God, and I don't want to do it. That's what I see myself doing. Praise the Lord. And he concluded, if I'm doing what I want to do, and I'm not doing the things I want to do, it is no longer me in charge. It is because there is something inside of me that is called sin and boast, that he can, by his flesh, overcome it. It is only the grace of God that can make us to stand. Praise the Lord. And that's why we don't easily condemn people who have made mistakes. You don't say, because this one did this, this one did that, blah, 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 so that you now bring condemnation completely. If you find yourself in the same position, you will fall. Praise the Lord. That's why God will never give the temptation or the test he gave to Abraham, he won't give it to Moses. Because Moses will fall. What he gave to David, he cannot give to another person. He knows that your grade is grade 1 or grade 2 or grade 3, and he tempts you according to your grade. If Adam fell, a supernatural man, he was not going to God, he was not praying to God, he was not fasting, he was not trusting God, he didn't have to have faith in God. He did not have to ask God for anything. Everything was in abundance. And he still fell. Who am I to say I can fall? David, a man after God's own heart, he slept with somebody, denied Jesus Christ 3 times. Judas, a cousin to Jesus Christ, they are from the same family lineage. He sold him for how many silver? 30 pieces of silver. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, when we talk about temptations, Jesus Christ himself, the Bible says he was tempted in all ways as we are, but without sin. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, I think. Praise the Lord. It is the grace. We only trust in the grace of God. Amen? We only trust in the grace of God. That's why, you know, Sister Lera once said in her testimony that that she has a prayer point she prays for us. That God, what is making, and I pray for myself, I don't know that you are praying it for me too. What is making other pastors to fall? It's let it not come near our pastor. As simple as that. If you hear what some pastors are doing, Jesus Christ. If you hear, these are things that all glory and all glory to God and all grace. When I hear them say, why? How are you doing it, Father Lord? So I thank you. I'm not doing it. When I hear a pastor, I slept with over 25 sisters in his church. And I know his church. I say, that church, they are not as beautiful as the ones God has given me. If that pastor now has this church income, praise the Lord. You now discover that, okay, whatever has happened to him, thank God it's not happening to me. Because your mind is not even there. You sleep with somebody in the church. What do I need it for? Have you? Why do I? I mean, that's the thought. How can I do it? And then I'll still come to the podium. Then I'll look at your face and still be able to preach. How do I preach? That's the way I think. How do I preach? I say, the Lord said, there is somebody here, your name is Fadaka. How do I prophesy? How do I do such prophecies? That's the way I think. But some people, they don't think that way. They just go ahead and bugashi. Praise the Lord. Pure grace. That you are still standing. That you even made a mistake. And you recognize you made a mistake. And you corrected it. And you confessed it to somebody close to you. Confessing it to somebody close to you is saying that in your heart of heart, this is not you. That you really want to be good. You want to be close to God. You want to make amends. That's why you are confessing it. Some people, praise the Lord. Some people that will walk to my office and say, Pastor, this is what I'm struggling with. It's because they have a way out. Praise the Lord. Depend on the grace of God. Number four. For those who cannot come in now to gather together with us, treat online service as real as possible. Treat it as a real service. Wake up in the morning, have your bath, dress, and don't be distracted. Don't be watching online service and be cooking at the same time. Don't be multitasking while the service is going on. Portion of time allotted to service belongs to God. So, you watching, okay, Sister Chinwe is singing. What is she singing? Praising that, okay, let me go lay do noodles for the children. No. That slot belongs to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7, the Bible says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. God sees your heart. You cannot be divided while you are in service. Praise the Lord. Somebody online is saying, his pastor is talking to me. He's talking about me. Number five. Take time to develop your personal relationship. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Amplified version. Philippians chapter 2. So then, my brethren, my dear ones, just as you have always obeyed my instructions with enthusiasm, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation. That is, cultivate it, bring it to full effect. Actively pursue spiritual maturity with awe-inspired fear and trembling, using serious caution and evaluation to avoid anything that might offend God or discredit the name of Christ. Praise the Lord. Be diligent in cultivating your relationship with God. And lastly, seek help from the church when you are going through anything you cannot bear alone. Don't suffer alone. Don't do what? Suffer alone. Message translation. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36 to 38. Then Jesus went with them to a garden called Gethsemane and told his disciples, "Stay here while I go over there and pray." Taking along Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he plunged into an agonizing sorrow. Then he said, "This sorrow is crushing my life out. Stay here and keep vigil with me." Jesus Christ needed people to bear the burden with him. He couldn't bear it alone. Don't suffer alone. Paul wrote to the churches in Rome, in Thessalonica, even in Philippi and other places. But I'm just going to use two examples. Romans chapter 15, verse number 30. "Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service to Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints." This was a man raising the dead, healing the sick, so anointed, transported into the third heaven. He saw Jesus Christ, received revelation from him, but still needed people to stand with him. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. "Finally, brethren, that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all men have faith." If Paul needed help, if Jesus needed help, and if your pastor have people that he calls, "Pray with me," or "Pray for me," everybody needs help. Don't go. One of the worst things anybody can do for himself is to belong to a church like this and not maximize your opportunities. "I don't want to trouble pastor. I know pastor has a lot. You know, don't let me tell him this. Pastor is not God, and pastor is not going to solve your problem. But pastor will take your problem to the one that can solve it. That's why you are calling him. You are not calling him for information. He's going to take it to the person that can solve it for you. That's why I pray. That's why I don't do any other jobs. There are other things I can be doing with my time. Amen? But I stick with what God has called me to do in America. God will bless us in Jesus' name. Let's rise up on our feet. Thank you.